passage. Now, if you have your Bible, Exodus chapter 13, and I want you to notice tonight, the children of Israel have just had the event happen where Egypt had all their firstborn to die. And so chapter 13, verse 1, then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify me all the firstborn which openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And then you notice he says in verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day. It was the Passover. And it reminded them, the Passover itself was when the Lord saw the blood sprinkled on the doorpost, he passed over and no one died in their family. And so he said, I want you to remember this day for the rest of your lives. But I want you to remember it, not just now, for generations, future generations. Now notice, if you would, I want you to see in the outline, the Israelites were to always remember the day they left Egypt. Now I want you to get this. We're going to go through and you're going to see this in this passage. A, they were to think often about God, how God delivered them. You know, many times we have a blessing of God and we think about it a little bit and then we let it go. But this one was one that God said, I never want you to forget it. The Passover. They still celebrate it today. I want you to remember it. And the reason why is because it was for them looking forward to one day the perfect Lamb was to come, and that was Jesus Christ. So he wanted them to always remember it. And you and I now, as we look backwards, we ought to remember that the perfect Lamb hung on the cross for us and paid our debt of sin. So we ought to remember it often. But when you notice a few things about this, these children of Israel had some specific things they would remember. Look at verse number 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt. Number one, they were freed from bondage. Remember that. Don't forget that you were freed from bondage. Now you're going to see in the next chapter, they'd already forgot it. So it's easy for us, human nature is us to forget. Notice number two, in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So Egypt was a place of bondage. They prayed and pled with God, please send somebody to get us out of bondage. Then notice number two, they were delivered by the strength of their God. It wasn't just some happen chance. Notice, in which ye came out from Egypt out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. So remember always that God himself used his hand to bring you out of Egypt. I want you to do this. I want you to remember this day. I want you to remember that you were brought out of bondage. I want you to remember the Lord delivered you from that. But I also want you to remember that it was God himself with his hand that delivered you. And number three, look in, if you would, verse 5, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. In other words, keep it in this month of April from now on. I don't ever want you to forget it. So it was to be an annual feast, an annual remembrance. We have what's called Thanksgiving that we remember. We have Christmas. We have Easter. We remember those three things. All of them are spiritual remembrances, really. I mean, the days of Thanksgiving when the Puritans, pilgrims could say, Lord, thank you for your bountiful provision for us. We don't think much about that day because how many of you in the last week have thanked the Lord for your grocery store? You've gone down and said, Lord, I thank you that I could go get any set of groceries I wanted to out of the store. Raise your hand. That's what I thought. We take it for granted. We go to the grocery store. We get disappointed if something's not there. Well, they brought up Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. Folks, we have to be careful. We're all in the same boat. We're being blessed to death almost. We have to be careful of that. And the Lord knew that. And so he said, remember this day. Remember, I brought you out of bondage. Remember, my hand brought you out of bondage. Remember it annually. I want you to remember that. Notice if you would, and be in the outline, they were to consider their bright future that he had promised them. Look also in verse 5, He said, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, the Hittites at first, the Hivites at second, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. So when you receive the blessings of the Lord, now, you remember this. Well, this group never made it there because they all died in the wilderness because they didn't have faith to believe the Lord. They didn't do these three things and they never made it to the promised land. But he gave them the opportunity and said, you remember, you came out of bondage. Don't forget that. And you're going to see that in just a minute why that's important. And you remember that my hand brought you out, God says. And then you remember also, don't forget to do it every year. So that it's constantly on your mind. And then finally, think about the future. What you're leaving Egypt to go to a promised land. Remember that when you get there. That God did this for you. And notice, see in the outline, they would have talked with their children about God's goodness and strength. Look if you would in chapter 13, verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? What's Passover? What is this day we're supposed to celebrate? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us from Egypt, from the house of bondage. He covered the two things he wanted them to remember. Now, I want you to notice something. They did this, but apparently they didn't drive it home. They mentioned it. It had become a tradition of what God had done for them. Take your Bible and turn and put the note in here. Turn to Judges chapter 6. I want you to see this. Notice Judges chapter 6. Verse 12. Now keep in mind, Midian has persecuted Israel. And Gideon is among that group that's being persecuted. They would wait for their crops to be almost done. They go down and burn them. So they kept them poor and starving. They were a wicked people, the Midianites were. And so an angel appears to Gideon, and notice in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, thou, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now we know Gideon wasn't that strong, wasn't that mighty, but he became that. And so you'll notice it in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, now remember, Gideon is 200 and something years later, 220 years later. But they've been hearing the stories of what God did. They're not enjoying them because they've been disobedient. And that's the reason God allowed the Midianites to take control of them. Well, notice what he says. Oh, my Lord, speaking to the angel, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why is it we're so destitute? Why is it we're being so punished? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. So it was obvious that this group did talk about the miracles that God did. The miracles of Egypt. The miracle of crossing the Red Sea. They talked about it. So they did obey the Lord. Notice in Exodus 13. And it shall be when thy son asks you. So the Passover was so that the kids would ask. So that the story could be retold. So that all of the Israelites would remember it. And folks tonight, that's what a birthday is. To remember God's goodness to you. I know a lot of times we say, it's just another birthday. But it's another year God's given us to serve Him. Well, what about Christmas? It's to remember that Jesus came to die for us. He was born. So there are some dates that we need to keep in mind, but Christmas can't be, hey, what'd you get for Christmas? That can't be the first question. The first question is, why do we celebrate Christmas? We've got to tell our children so they don't forget. Easter. What is Easter? We've got to make sure we take advantage of these dates to teach our children and to teach others that we know about the things of the Lord and the greatness of our God. And so understand, these people did that, but not with their heart. Oh, God did some good things for us. But you'll notice that they lost those memories very quickly. And that's the thing we cannot do. Why? What one thing do we do now to remember that the Lord died for us? Can I tell me? What event do we do in our church to remind ourselves that Jesus died for us? Chris? Communion. We need to make sure our children understand that, no, you cannot be baptized. You cannot partake the Lord's table until you're baptized, until you know Christ as Savior and you're baptized, because that's the first step of obedience. And we want to be in obedience when we partake of the Lord's table. But it's to remind you that His body, His flesh was torn for us. His blood was shed for us. So we do that every month to try to keep it fresh in our minds. And the Lord said, as often as you do it, maybe some people want to do it once a week. I think anything we do that often, we probably take for granted some. I think anything we do once a year, we have to be careful not to take advantage of it or forget about it for 9 or 10 months out of the year. So maybe once a month is a good thing to be able to sit down and say, Lord, thank you for dying for me, for shedding your blood for me. This is what the Passover was to the Jews. And they forgot it. You're going to see it in a minute. Notice, see in the outline, they were to talk to their children, with their children, of God's goodness and strength. And we see that, we saw that in Judges, that Gideon heard about it, but he didn't believe it. So our job as parents is to get our children to hear about it and put their faith and trust in the Lord. Even though they don't see it at that moment, they know God is real. Now notice, if you would, too, in the outline, God redirected their path knowing their weakness. Now, I want to pause here. Let's put the remembrance of the Passover here, what God said in the first part of chapter 13. Now we're going to look at the redirection of their path. And notice this. I thought it was quite unique in the sense that, and it came to pass, verse 17, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Ever wondered why God didn't lead you in a certain way? And after a few months or years, or why didn't God let me do that 10 years ago? Why didn't God let us build 15 years ago? I don't know, but He knows. And you'll notice here, look at verse number 17, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Sometimes God protects us from our own fears and worries by leading us a different direction. We're going to get there, but we're going to get there later. And I grieve in my heart and say, Lord, why 15 years? But maybe, dear Lord, you did it because I didn't have much faith, or our people, we didn't have much faith. Or, Lord, we didn't trust you. I don't know what it is, but Lord, thank you for finally getting us here. And you'll notice this is what He says in verse 17. Although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God knew their weaknesses, and they had a weakness for confrontation. They didn't want to fight about anything. And maybe the Lord sees you and I have a weakness I don't want to spend that money, or I don't want to change this, or I don't want to change that. And I like it just being just like it is. And so if we're not careful, God will go around our fears and take a long time to get us there. And so my encouragement to all of us is, look, Lord, when you see a weakness in my heart and life, do what David did. Lord, search me. Not just see if there's a wicked way in my heart, but Lord, if I'm weak in some area, Lord, help me to get stronger. Folks, today, that's part of our spiritual growth. The Lord loves you and I. If you and I ask Him to help us, He certainly will. He's our Heavenly Father. But it's important that you and I, if we don't see something, so I may not see it, but you show me my weakness, Lord, so that I can strengthen it. These people didn't see their weakness and didn't want to correct it. And as a result, they never saw the promised land. And so, folks, tonight, learn a lesson that all of us have weaknesses. If I were to say, okay, over here, Jeff has a weakness here, my wife has a weakness here, pastor has a weakness here, Patrick has a weakness here, Brother Downs has a weakness here. Look, we can all leave them there and just say, Lord, deal with it. Or we can say, Lord, would you help me to fix that weakness that I could be more used of you, that you could use me in a shorter amount of time rather than going the roundabout way. Well, it took me a year, 2 or 5 years to correct the weakness in my life. Do you want to be used of the Lord? Lord, you see my weaknesses. I may not see them. Would you help me to correct it? So that I can be used. Folks, it's not so that you can be, your weakness can be corrected so you can be blessed. Lord, I want you to correct my weaknesses so that you can use me. And if you see fit to bless me, that's your business. But Lord, I don't want to be blessed if it turns my heart. I don't want to have anything if it turns my heart. I don't want to have anything if it turns my family's hearts. So you and I have to learn to trust the Lord. We can give him the desires of our heart and tell him, but we leave that up to him. Notice, if you would, in the outline, the Lord guided their steps with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, how many of you would like to be guided by the Lord by a cloud during the day and a fire at night? How many of you like that? I don't know about you, but I'd like that. You know, I would hope that I would not make many mistakes if I did that. But these Israelites wasted their whole lives, even as God guided them, because he guided them because of their weaknesses. And folks, tonight, we all have weaknesses. Don't tolerate them. Say, Lord, help me. Strengthen me. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline, God knew that they didn't like confrontation. That's the reason he took them the long way. Look in chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians march after them. So what's going to be their response? And they were sore afraid. How could they be afraid when they saw God bring frogs, lice, grasshoppers, kill all the firstborn and divide the Red Sea? And they could turn and look back at all those miracles. And yet they were afraid. Folks, tonight, all of us can be like that if we live in the flesh. We've got to say, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit where I trust you, where I remember the things, answers to prayer of last week, or answers to prayer from last month, or the miracle that you did when you did such and such. Notice, if you would, verse 11. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, notice what they told Moses. And I'm sure they told the Lord the same thing. Look what it says. Because, verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Do you remember what they prayed? Lord, get us out of Egypt. Now they say, Lord, why did you get us out of Egypt? What a fickle people. But if you're not careful, that can be us. And we have to learn to say, Lord, I prayed for this, and Lord, I'm asking you to help us. But Lord, give me the strength to have faith in you. Notice what happens. Look, see in the outline. God knew they'd rather be slaves again than to fight for their freedom. Look at verse 14, verse number 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Do they not know the same God that divided the Red Sea is still with them? Do you realize this group of people is watching the fiery pillar lead them? How could they possibly be at the position of saying, it had been better for us to be back in Egypt as slaves, eating garlics and leeks? But they just didn't want to do anything themselves. They wanted everything to be provided for them. We'd rather be slaves and have plenty of food than die here. What makes them think they're going to die there after God has done 10 miracles for them to strengthen their faith and 11th miracle by dividing the sea? And now he's dropped the walls of Jericho. He says, look, I'll help you. Of course, they didn't see the walls of Jericho dropped because they didn't have enough faith to believe the Lord. And folks, tonight, you and I, we may never see the wall, the Red Sea parted, unless we have a little faith. And they actually blamed the Lord and Moses. But God knew that in their heart. They had a weakness, a fear. A fear of fighting. A fear of standing up for something, doing what God wanted them to do. Take the promised land. So notice, if you would, I'm amazed at this. Look at verse 22 of chapter 13. Excuse me, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. How could they have thought there was not a God in heaven with seeing that every day? That ought to tell you and I, we better be careful of our flesh and plead with the Lord to help our faith grow day by day. Look at the next phrase. Verse 22, knowing their weakness, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. In the outline, D, God never removed his guidance from them. But his guidance took them the way that would be best for their weakness. Is that what we want? The Lord to take me the long way to avoid my weakness. I want the Lord to take me the direct path to the center of his will and help me to correct my weakness. And folks, that's what it is into his image. But if you have the attitude of any fear in your heart, take whatever fears in your heart and bring it to the Lord and lay right down here and say, Lord, here's my fear. Here's my weakness. Would you give me strength? He'll do that. In their weakness, he never stopped guiding them. What a great God we have. Notice, if you would, in the outline, God led the Israelites just as he does us, tenderly and carefully, knowing our fears. We serve a great God, folks. He was good to them. He's good to us. Now notice chapter 14, verse 1, Roman number 1. God led Israel in a way that caused Pharaoh to think that they were entangled in the land and he could recapture them. Now, understand, God always has a plan. Look at chapter 14, verse 1, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before, and here's a word I didn't work on, but between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon, before it become encamped by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. God planned this. But you see their response. And notice verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he will follow. They shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, if I would have been there, I would have hoped I would have been smart enough to say, uh-oh, if God's going to get honor over Pharaoh and all of Egypt's going to know it, he's about to do something really big again. I'm going to trust him. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them. And verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, saw the Egyptians, and they were sore afraid. God had just told them, folks, I'm going to do something great. You're going to be able to see it. I'm going to get honor from everybody in Egypt. I'm going to get honor from everybody around. They're going to see my mighty hand. I'm allowing Pharaoh to think that you're entangled, but I'm guiding you with my pillar of fire at night and my cloud by the day. I've got you in my hand. And the Israelites said, oh my, what do we do? We should have never left Egypt. I want you to know something. I have a hard time with that passage. And then I look in the mirror and I sometimes say, Lord, why am I fearful of this? Why am I worried about that? Lord, I know you. You're going to take care of things. Oh, we don't have the pillar of fire or the pillar of cloud, but we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. They didn't. We've got far more than they do. We have to learn to trust Him. Notice, if you would, in the outline, A, God was going to be honored over Pharaoh and his army's defeat. We learned that in verses 3 and 4. Now, I doubt there was much discussion about what that meant. But that should have been the buzz of Israel. What's God going to do? What do you think He's going to do? The buzz of temple. What do you think the Lord's going to do with the new site? What do you think He's going to use us to do? I wonder how many people we can see saved. I wonder what the Lord's got planned for us. That ought to be our subject of thought. Rather than, I wonder this, I wonder that. Let's rejoice at God's goodness. They didn't. Watch. B in the outline. Pharaoh again changed his mind, decided to come after Israel. After his, you know, look. This is one of the most amazing stories in all of Scripture. Pharaoh changed his mind multiple times. Every time he does, he loses something very dear to him. And the last time he changed his mind, he lost his son. His firstborn son. And he says, get out, go, leave us alone. We want to see you again. And they go, and then all of a sudden he hears, well, they're tangled in the wilderness. And he says, why did I let this happen? Why did I lose all my free labor? And he goes, get the armies up. Let's go get them. What's he thinking? He's got a short memory, shorter than mine, because he's forgotten 10 miracles already. And folks, we can do the same thing. We have to be careful. That's the reason at Passover, he says, remember it. Remember it. The Lord's Supper. Remember, I loved you. I paid your debt of sin. Remember it. And I encourage you every morning to get up and remember some of the goodness of the Lord. Every morning when you get up, remember some things. Let it be a time where you say, Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that. There were 3 or 4 events that happened to me probably 3 years ago. And every morning, I just have to list those things and say, Lord, thank you for this, and for this. I never want to forget what you did for me. Because it's both a thank you and a reminder. If I ever need this, this, or this, you got it, Lord. You can do it. So it's a reminder of what He's done, and it's a reminder of what He can do. And all of us need to do that. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, Pharaoh overtook them as they encamped by the sea. The children of Israel again showed their spiritual weaknesses. Now understand, God had told them, Pharaoh is going to think you're entangled. He's coming after you. I'm going to get glory over him. I'm going to get honor. But they still had their fears overtake them. Folks, we can't live like this. We have to live in victory, knowing our God is going to take care of us. You have to know God knows your name. He knows where you sit tonight. He saw you sit down. He sees you sing. He's watching you think. He's watching you as you go home and lay down in bed. He's got His eyes on you. The Bible says He encamps around us. He encompasses all the way around us. He's got you covered. And so when you and I begin to doubt and worry, and I begin to doubt and worry, I have to back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to trust you. And you go back and you remember some of the things and recall some of the miracles that He's done for you in your life. And say, Lord, would you do it again? Notice what happens. Romans 2a, they complained to Moses. Look at verse 11. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord in verse 11, and they said unto Moses, they complained. This is the God that's still got the pillar of fire at night there. They can wake up in the night and see the pillar of fire. I'm still in the Lord's will. They can get up and watch the pillar of the cloud go by the day and say, well, I'm still following the Lord. How do you miss that? I just want you to understand, don't look at how foolish and unwise Israel is. Remember, We have the same flesh they do. And it can happen to us unless we yield to the Holy Spirit, who is our pillar of fire at night and pillar of cloud by day. And He will guide us. Notice, if you would, B, they were fearful of dying and wondered why Moses took them from Egypt. What a foolish thought. C, they actually decided it was better to be a slave again than maybe die in the wilderness. You know what? There's one thing about Americans. We don't believe that. I think that's one of the reasons God blesses us. Because we're willing to fight for what we believe. The problem is, we need to learn to trust Him that He's our strength. Not us and our guns and weapons, but He's our strength. I told a story before, but George Washington, when he was battling early with the wars that were there, there were Indians that the French and various ones had hired and bought really with their stuff to fight against the young American colonies. And he had ridden on a horse, Washington had, and the Indians had tried to kill him because they thought they'd kill him. They could win the battle. His men would flee. And so they shot at him, couldn't understand it, but they couldn't kill him. And many years later, when he is now president and things much have settled down, this old Indian, somehow someone had caught up with him and said, "You were in that war. Tell us about it." He said, "Well, I can tell you one thing. I remember this. I had marksmen that never missed. And I said, 'See that yonder man on the horse? I think he was riding a gray horse.' Said, 'Shoot him.' And he said, he lost, I forget, two or three horses in the battle. He had bullet holes in his coat. But the old Indian said, there was somebody to protect him because our bullets could not hit him." Washington didn't realize it, but God had protected him. And I think there are many times you and I don't realize it, but God puts a shield around us from the old devil. We just have to stay in the fight for His sake. Notice, if you would, D in the outline, they lost all confidence in the power of their God. We cannot do that. We must not do that. Notice E, we must always trust our God to take care of us no matter what we face. Folks, this is one of the things that God wants to do for us. He wants to give us the victory of our soul, that we don't have the fears of this life that other people have. He said, look, other men seek after food and raiment and houses and lands. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, I got all this stuff. Just walk with me. So tonight, take all your fears and lay them at the foot of the cross. Take all your worries and remember what Jesus has already done for us and how much He loves you. And let's learn to trust Him. F, Moses told them to stand still and watch God in His might fight for them and save them. And you might want to underline this word again. Look at verse number 13. Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not." This is 14:13, chapter 14, verse 13. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you will see them, you shall see them again no more forever." So what's He telling them? God's going to wipe away the Egyptians. Look in verse 14. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Look, you just keep your mouth shut and watch God do something because He loves you. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore thou criest unto me?" Apparently Moses sort of was saying, "Lord, we need your help. They're close to us. They're coming after us. Lord, help us." And the Lord said, "Why cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Tell them, march. I got this. I know, but the Red Sea, march. Notice. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of it. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of Pharaoh, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. You see, the Lord is trying to get all of Egypt to know, I am the God that wrecked Israel, wrecked Egypt, because you wouldn't believe me. And I'm also trying to get Israel to understand, I'll do anything to take care of them. And look, folks, tonight, the Lord will do anything to take care of you. You're the apple of his eye. If you and I understood how important we are to the Lord, we wouldn't be afraid. We'd be bold because our God is with us. Tonight, learn to trust him. He loves you. Let's learn the lesson these Israelites did not learn. Let's bow our fourth prayer tonight. Ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, Lord, I've got some fears and some worries. I'm just going to leave them at your feet. I'll let you take care of them. I have to do that regularly, because my nature is to be afraid and try to fix things myself. Lord, I'll just trust you. Help me, Lord, to be stronger in faith and less trusting of myself. Folks, tonight, whatever your weakness is, bring it to the Lord. He loves you. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray.